All right, folks, welcome back to Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. It is our Game of the Year Awards, aka the Juicies. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. And yes, the Juicies are named after me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. But it's good to be back, Tommy. We did our last Juicy Awards on January 1st. That's when it came out. And we're going to be releasing this one on December 31st. So we're like right on it. We're like, yeah. You know, the Game Awards, they do it in the beginning of December. We're truly a Game of the Year show. All right.
Yes.
So that's how you got to do it. Take notes, everybody.
Jeff Keeley. Is that his name?
Yeah.
take some notes. You know, you can come on the podcast and talk about it if you want, but we have a lot of awards to give out, including best narrative / story, best character, most replayability, best art direction, biggest surprise, best hidden gem, best score, favorite game mechanic, biggest disappointment, most anticipated game of 2026, our reviewed game of the year, and then our overall game of the year. Now, all the other ones are our, like, based on our reviews, you know, those awards. So the reviewed game of the year goes to something that we reviewed. Our game of the year is something that we didn't review. Just if we want to give a shout out to something that perhaps, you know, really captured us outside of what we reviewed. Now, this is going to be a fun show. I can't wait. But first, we do got to catch up. How was your holiday? Didn't get to see you this year. You stuck it out with the young one. How's it going?
Yeah, it was good. It was busy. So we made the decision not on Christmas, but we knew on Christmas Day we were usually going to my parents. We go to my side of the family in the morning for breakfast. And then the second half of the day, we're usually going, we go to like Staten Island for my wife's side of the family. But this year we have obviously the little 4-month old. So we decided not to go to Staten Island. So instead we had like a breakfast at my in-laws and then we had dinner at my parents. So it just kind of would be like close to home. But I got to tell you, we should have just invited people over rather than like going to these two places. Cause not only, you know, do we need to manage, like just having a baby around and like trying to like open gifts and like talk to people and all that stuff, but we also need to like consider her like nap times and all that sort of stuff. Right. So it's just like, she did fine and everything, but like looking back, we were like, yeah, we're kind of excited to actually go to parties next year and stuff and like actually get out. Cause then we'll have more people to help with her. Right. And like maybe she could just play with some other little kids there too. So it was a lot. It was very tiring, but it was good. It was a fun time. We did not go, you know, to our family Christmas Eve party. So we just kind of hung out at home. I think we watched some like Christmas movies and stuff and just kind of chilled. Didn't do anything too crazy. We also have decided to start a new tradition where, so every year I'm always like, hounded my wife of like, I want her to open one gift on Christmas Eve. Cause it's just like, I don't know. It's just like exciting. You know, it's just a little something. It doesn't need to be like anything big. It could even just be like a stocking thing or whatever. But she's always like, no, no, no. You got to wait till Christmas Day. Well, she came to me this year. She's like, you know what? Should we start a tradition where we open our gifts like the night of Christmas Eve? So that like Christmas Day is like all for our daughter. And like, we, you know, it's just, we just do our gift exchange, like while she's asleep, basically, at least until she's old enough, you know, to, you know, kind of, we'll all do it at the same time sort of thing. And maybe she'll be getting stuff for us and, you know, we'll do that all on Christmas Day. So we did that on Christmas Eve night, which was fun. It was good. We were able to take our time and she got me like this awesome picture that her coworker drew, like hand drawn of like me and her and like our dog and our turtle and our daughter, obviously. So that was really cool. I'm going to get that framed. I got Eagles underwear. I have Eagles everything else. Never had Eagles underwear. So I got that. Of course I wore it right away. And then we had like on Christmas Day, we were in like matching pajamas and stuff and all that. So we're starting to do all the kind of family stuff, you know, which is cool and fun. And yeah, I also got, I haven't set this up yet, but my parents got us a mini like smart oven thing, because like we were having mm-hmm. trouble with our oven. So now we have to figure out kind of where we want it. It's kind of, it seems cool to like air fry stuff for us. We've never really had like something to air fry, you know, things. So gonna do some chicken tenders, you know, some tots, nice. Potatoes. Yeah. So it was a cool Christmas. It was good. It was just very tiring and we're still tired, but luckily, you know, I've been off of work and stuff, so it hasn't been like too much going on, with that. But, yeah, it's been good overall. You know, it was a good time. How about you? How was your holiday? How was the Christmas Eve party? Hope it was good. And what else? And I want to know, what's your favorite thing that you either gave or got? What's the thing you're proud of?
I didn't give anything. Actually, I think you're going to like what I got you, because we haven't seen each other. So I'm excited for you to get that.
Gift still isn't in, by the way. It hasn't shipped yet. I don't know why. I emailed them, just for all the listeners to know, I'm putting this on record, all right? Ordered Tom's gift, part of his gift, December 10th. No, it hasn't even shipped yet. I don't even think that the place exists anymore.
It's all good. All gravy. I mean, so like, because we moved and bought a house, so me and Lady Fresh didn't do gifts this year, although I sneakily got her some concert tickets. Ooh. And she was mad at me because we said no gifts, but that's all right.
It's a gift for too, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I'm not going. I might go. I don't know. But I was actually working that night, but you know, we'll see. But it was Christmas Eve party was cool. It was like low key, you know, like you or Dan weren't there, so like, you know, it just was, you know, just kind of hanging. And then like we have like this uncle Steve who, you know, kind of holds court and like, you know, gives out this weird soul album thing. And I went to my dad, you know, we were kind of confused as to what that is, but I guess that's an old tradition. Not really sure, but it was good. It was a nice little hang. And then Christmas Day, you know, just kind of relaxed in the morning and then, you know, went to my dad's, opened some gifts. And then we went to my Aunt Gail's, my godmother's for dinner, low key. I was exhausted though. I was like, it's just like, I don't know. Christmas for me, like, has always been like weird because like when we lived in Florida, we would be visiting up here. So like, I don't have these like kind of like memories of like traditions and stuff like that. So like, I'm hoping like one day, like, you know, when I pop out, well, not me physically, but like when Lady Fresh pops out some babies, we could start some of those traditions. Yeah. That would be kind of cool. Although who knows? Listen, I might pop out some babies too. We might get crazy.
Hey, but it's bound to be 2026, you know?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Now, I do have a quick question for you in terms of the holidays. How are you decorating? Do you decorate like the inside? Now that you have a house as well, like, are you like, well, we're bad at it. We got the tree up and that was basically it this year. But are you guys into that?
We had just moved. So, you know, we didn't really have lay of the land. We put up a tree, a couple like small little things. We had a couple advent calendar things as well. So we had like a little wine bottle one that you'd open. And then like, Lady Fresh got like a Harry Potter Lego one where you just open it and make a Lego thing every day.
Nice.
So, you know, I love the advent calendar stuff because it's like a routine and I'm like, yeah, like what do I get to open today? Yeah. You know, but, I like the week after Christmas way better because it's like chill. Yeah. You're just finishing up everything for the year with work and stuff like that. That's what I was doing today. And then hopefully finish it all by tomorrow. And it's like, you know, get to celebrate my dad's birthdays today. So we get to celebrate that, you know, and then I like New Year's. That's like a fun thing. Although I don't know if we're doing anything this year, but we'll figure it out. I'll get blackout drunk either way. No, and, but, you know, But yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much it. And then we went to the in-laws on Saturday and did gifts and stuff like that. We do with Lady Fresh's family, we do, rather than like have to sweat about gifts, mm-hmm. we do like you randomly pull somebody in the family as like their name, and then you get them a book with like a bookmark. So like,
nice.
Although my father and mother-in-law always like to go a little overboard. They always get more than just the book. That's all right. You know, it is what it is. But I got some Brandon Sanderson books. You know, a lot of people hype them up. So I'm finally going to dig into them. It's the Way of Kings trilogy or Stormlight Archive trilogy or whatever. So I'll be reading those bad boys. And yeah, that's it.
Hell yeah.
That's it. But I'm excited for these juicies. But first, I got some news. We have a Discord.
Oh,
yes,
my
we
God.
Do, folks. Check it out. It is in the show notes below. And it's awesome there. So great. A lot of free. Like, we have that awesome bot that gives us the free deals when games are free. And I saw something recently that I meant to make a comment on. That this game is sick. Oh yeah, Cassette Beast was free on Epic, so
yeah,
that game is very good. And also Bloodstained was free. I don't know, that one's not free anymore, but that one was a cool one to see go free as well. But yeah.
Plus Viewfind today, or I guess until the 30th, so after this episode comes out, but Viewfinder is also free on Epic. Hopefully you guys grab that one. That's a cool one as well. That's I think I played the demo for it, but it's like a perspective puzzle game where you need to figure out how to complete puzzles based on like your perspective. So mm-hmm. kind of a cool twist on that. But yeah, some bangers. I also picked up Disco Elysium. That was also free.
One of the greatest store. Indie games of all time yeah. that I haven't played.
Yeah, same here. So I'm going to have to now.
Yeah, but other than that, check out the Discord. We're about to do the awards, but first, let's look ahead a little bit into 2026. Some upcoming indie games that are relatively hyped, as they should be. All indie games should be hyped. And we got a nice list here from Games Radar. Starting off with one that we're going to be probably playing and reviewing is Mio, Memories in Orbit.
Yeah,
this comes out on January 20th, PC, Xbox, and PS5. Metroidvania, you take on the role of a little android called Mio. You'll find yourself among the ruins of a once-drifting spaceship known as the Vessel, which is said to be a technological ark that ventured out for reasons unknown. Sounds fun to me.
Sounds take a pretty look. Cool. Yeah, I think this game, when they revealed it, I was really just taken back by the art style here. So I'm excited to check it out. You know, these Metroidvanias that come out that just have sick art styles are like, I'm like a sucker for, right? But this just seems so like beautiful and interesting as well. Like, I'm not really sure, you know, the type of mechanics we're going to get out of this, that other than the standard kind of platforming, right? It just kind of feels like there's secrets I want to unravel with this game. So I'm excited to check this out. Yeah, this comes out, I think, the 20th, January 20th. So right around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks neat. You know, always a sucker for Metroidvania. You know, this was a big year. This past year was a big one for Metroidvania, mostly because Hollow Knight came out and Silksong. Yeah. But, you know, there were some other good ones out there, too. And we did see Metroid Prime 4 come out, which is a Metroid. So... Now, another game, February 11th, is Lost and Found Inc. Looks like a little bit more of a cozy game. You play a duck-turned human intern called Ducky, original, who works at magical startup company run by a goddess that helps find lost items for the local townspeople. Described as a hidden object game, you also help a small dragon regain their power. A lot going on here.
Yeah, this is I've actually seen a few of these kind of like like Where's Waldo-y kind of games. I don't know if that's like something that's trending again. But I've seen another one as well. But yeah, this seems kind of interesting. I don't know if it's really up my alley, but, you know, it's got a cool art style. And yeah, I don't have anything else to say about this one.
Yeah. We might, I mean, who knows? We might end up playing it. But yeah, this one, it looks like a lot going on. But, you know, it should be interesting. Now, speaking of cool art style, the next game here, Replace, which I remember seeing a trailer for this. I don't remember exactly when, but this game looks so cool. It's a 2D sci-fi action platformer set in a retro futuristic alternate take on the 1980s. You take on the role of Reach, an AI or an artificial intelligence that's trapped in a human body in Phoenix City, which is dealing with the aftermath of a devastating nuclear event. Said to be a mix of cinematic platforming and free flow action. I mean, just the way this game looks, you know, has me kind of hooked. This one comes out March 12th, by the way. I'm interested to see how good the gameplay is, right? Because like, as it stands, like when I look at it, I'm like, wow, this is going to be great to look at. Will the gameplay be great? I'm hoping so. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I mean, obviously the art style and the atmosphere, everything just looks like unbelievable, extremely well done, kind of mixing like these 2D characters with like a 3D kind of environment. Just looks really cool. But yeah, I'm also hoping the gameplay is good. It kind of almost gives me like, from the art standpoint, like the Drifter sort of vibes. But obviously completely different sort of you know, gameplay here. So yeah, I'm kind of curious. These are very cinematic trailers that we're watching. I'm not really sure, you know, what the gameplay is going to end up kind of feeling like, but it does seem really cool. It's promising, but yeah, hopefully it's not, you know, very shallow kind of gameplay. So we'll see.
But we'll see.
It's got my interest.
Now, a game that's coming out a week after that is another game that I know that has been pretty hyped for a while. It's Mouse P.I. for Hire, you know, hand-drawn black and white, like Mickey Mouse, Steamboat Willie style game that is a first-person shooter. This game looks crazy. You look at a game like this, you're like, how did they make this? Because it truly feels like you are just in a cartoon. Yeah. So love the look of this. And, you know, I'm guessing this is kind of on the tail end of Steamboat Willie going public domain.
Yeah.
I was about to say public access, but public domain. So this game looks insane. I mean, you know, this art style definitely kind of hit the mainstream of indie games with Cuphead, and seeing this kind of like almost being like a, not a spiritual successor, but definitely inspired by, should be awesome to see. I can't see this being bad, to be honest. Like, I don't know, like, how it's going to play. Is it mostly a story-driven game, or is it, is there going to be multiplayer? I'm not sure.
It looks like it's just single player for this one, but obviously the art styles looks really cool. The thing with, you know, if I had any concerns about the game, it's like, how is like the moment to moment, like combat going to be or gameplay going to be? If it's more story driven, how interesting will that be? Like, you know, do the guns feel good? Do the weapons feel good? Because yeah, this is, you know, obviously like inspired by those early cartoons as well. But the thing with Cuphead is that like the gameplay felt like it was so snappy and crisp and just felt really satisfying to win. And it kind of had like a, you know, kind of like that Souls vibe, right? Where like it's really difficult and you have to kind of figure it out. I don't like looking at the gameplay here. I'm like, is this a difficult game? I don't know. Like, is this going to be, there's some FPS games I play where everything is just a pushover and it just kind of doesn't feel that fun. So I'm just hoping there's like a good amount of challenge behind it and it's just interesting, but it does have my interest like 100%. I mean, I feel like we've seen this game for a while now, right? Because it's just so like marketable with the way it looks, that I've just seen it on Twitter and Instagram and just so many different places. So hopefully it ends up being good, but it's definitely a highly anticipated game, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be sick. I mean, I'm excited to at least give it a shot because, you know, I'm just intrigued. Like, I just want to see how it actually feels rather than these kind of like trailers, you know. But moving on, a game that, you know, was supposed to come out this year, but Slay the Spire 2, you know, we have some friends who just picked up Slay the Spire 1 because it was on sale. This is a game. Well, Slay the Spire 1's an all-timer, kind of changed indie games in a lot of ways. We'll see how Slay the Spire 2 is. You know, it's one of the games that's like, okay, how is this going to improve upon the first, right? Because I'm looking at it, it definitely has upgraded graphics and stuff like that. I'm hoping for something that feels different and the same, if that makes sense. Like I like the sameness of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want them to completely abandon, you know, what made Slay the Spire so great. But I also want an expansion on things. I know there'll be new playable characters, etc. So, yeah, I think this one was kind of like a no-brainer. Next year, hopefully, you know, at this point, you never know. But it's going to be a big release.
Yeah, for sure. I think regardless of when this comes out, like, it should, as long as they don't mess it up, right, it should, like, be pretty well received. And, you know, it is releasing in early access. It actually even says in the trailer right there, still coming in 2025, but clearly that's not happening. So, yeah, we'll kind of see, you know, what happens with it. I know Hades 2 released in early access and had really good feedback, and then I think they've hit 1.0 at this point. So hopefully Slay the Spire 2 also kind of has a track like that as well, since I do think it is, even though usually it says if it's releasing in early access here, but in the trailer it did, so I'm assuming it still is. Yeah, we'll see. I honestly need to play more of the first one, but I mean, I do really enjoy it. And this kind of, hopefully, kind of what you were saying is, like, hopefully it's just kind of like it's just an updated Slay the Spire, right? Like, introduce some new mechanics here and there. Maybe, like, you know, clearly they've kind of modernized a little bit of, like, the graphics to an extent here, but still kind of has that original Slay the Spire feel. So, yeah, hopefully they don't kind of stray too far from the original formula. But, yeah, I'm excited for this one. Hopefully it does come out in March. We got a few games here, I think, that were coming out in March. So, should be a pretty busy month.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I mean, now, just skipping ahead, there's a lot of these. But I know that Moomin Troll Winter's Warmth is one that has caught a lot of people's eyes, but we don't know exactly when that's going to be released. Art style looks great. Looks to be like almost like Winnie the Pooh style. Yeah. But, you know, it looks like cozy, but also, you know, nice little adventure game. Also, just want to shout out, where the heck is it? A game, Neverway, which is, I believe, a game that is being, the art is being done by the people that did Celeste, if I remember correctly. I could be totally wrong here, but this one premiered at the Triple I things. Not awards, showcase.
Yeah.
This game looks really very, like, for fans of probably stuff like Stardew Valley and almost in a way Undertale, right? This seems like kind of like another huge RPG moment that has like this really great art style that seems to be like a lot of time was put into this. So this one's kind of like you got to keep your eye on, I think, as well. We don't know when it's coming out, though.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, I mean, it looks just awesome. you know, interesting, mysterious. It almost feels like Stardew with like more of a story, kind of. So, yeah, I'll keep my eye on this one for sure. Over 300,000 wish lists too, so definitely, are excited for it.
Yeah, the trailer was pretty insane from the III, from what I remember. And then one more I do want to shout out here that doesn't, we don't know if it should or will be coming out in 2026, but Rebounder, if you scroll down to the TBC area on that thing, I love the art style of this game. It looks so cool and has the potential to like be a really awesome speed running platformer. Yeah, this game looks awesome.
Kind of got like some Super Meat Boy kind of vibes here with like the precise platforming and this looks really cool.
This one I saw threw it right on the wish list. I was like, I mean, this art style, you know, everything about this seems so sick. And then like you kind of have that bungee mechanic reminds me of Wreck, the game that
Motion Wreck.
Motion Wreck that we played at PAX. But yeah, that's kind of what we're all looking forward to next year. But let's move to the awards, the juicies. This is why you're all here, folks. Welcome to the juicies, our Game of the Year awards. I am Tommy Fresh, and this is Matty Juice. We will be giving out some awards individually, right? Yeah. We might have the same awards for some of these, but that remains to be seen. Starting off, best narrative story. So this is what we felt had the story or narrative that stuck home with us the most, that had us most engaged with the game. You know, in indie games, there's a world of roguelikes that like just don't really have that much narrative, but we played some games with good narrative, and we're going to start off with a hot one. Do you want to start on this one?
Sure.
We'll snake it, right? You know, you do this one first, and then I'll do the next one first. How about that?
Boom. That sounds good. So for me, best narrative / story, I'm going to be giving it to The Drifter.
Ooh.
Now, The Drifter is one of those games that also just kind of surprised me as well with how much how interested I was in the story. And it's usually, you know, it's like a point and click game, so it's not really my cup of tea, but I mean, the story was just so interesting. I did not beat the game, I will say, but it did hold my interest for quite a while, and I honestly need to go back to it. But I really liked, you know, the dark like undertones, the narration in this as well was like, I mean, it's very kind of depressing, but I think they just did such a great job of kind of giving you that. I don't know if it's like, it's like an old school murder mystery kind of vibe. I'm just really happy with the narrative and just the overall theme here for The Drifter. And obviously the point and click stuff as well, discovering, you know, how to kind of progress the story is rewarding as well. Because obviously it's, you know, there's not a lot of like gameplay elements because you're just kind of pointing and clicking and figuring out like the order of things. But that was also part of the story, right? Of like, okay, what can I grab onto here that like makes sense to like progress the story? Like, I think one of them, you know, you're trying to, you like reveal a passageway like behind a poster, things like that. But you have to move the poster to get there. So it's kind of like you're taking part in the story as well. I'm giving it to The Drifter. I really enjoyed it.
Honestly, great choice. This was kind of a finalist for me in this category. It might show up in a later category, actually. But for me, the best story, in my opinion, the one that I felt I connected to and I love the way it played out within the game, is Death Howl. Death Howl is the winner for this one. I mean, I love the characterization of your main character and how she's experiencing loss and like kind of like exploring it in a way through this kind of like intense souls-like place that yeah. like the spirit world where, you know, you're talking to these other spirits and you're trying to find the spirit that was your son. And I think it just, you know, allowed you to experience grief in a different way than you normally do. And I kind of like that. And then, you know, I talked about last week on the episode that we talked about this game, but I love the characterization of the story through the cards as well. It just was such a fun experience going through this game. And I know you actually picked up this game after I reviewed it and you've been playing it a little bit.
Yeah, this was actually a kind of like a finalist for me for best story. I haven't played enough of it to like, you know, to really get too much in the story, but I'm loving this game. Absolutely. It might even appear later in the awards somewhere for me, even though technically I didn't review it, but it is a game from the show that I picked up and I've been playing it on the Steam Deck. Been really enjoying, you know, how difficult it is. Like I love like the souls like aspect of it and trying to figure out, okay, how do I approach this battle? And then obviously the story side, everything you're saying, like with the main character and like everything she's going through, I think it's just so well done. This is like this is a certified fresh juice for me. Definitely if I were to like review it. So yeah, I've been enjoying Death Hound. Very good. Very good. I've even recommended it to a few people. So,
you know,
we'll see if they pick
it up. It was a nice way to end the year for the show, I think. And moving on to the next award, though, best character. Right, we had some interesting characters throughout this year. I'm going with a character from the game that you just gave best story. The Drifter. I'm giving the best character to the main character from that game, Mick Carter. Loved, you know, first of all, the voice acting was great, but like, loved this kind of a loser in a way that kind of gets thrown into this world where he starts witnessing some weird stuff and you're just like, oh, you gotta get to go through that with him. And, you know, has a little bit of sarcasm and also, you know, not super lovable either, but like you're still rooting for him and kind of how he will, you know, go through this insane thing that he's kind of been put through. So I loved Mick Carter in The Drifter because I thought it was just such a refreshing character. And like that is a game where you got a lot of great characters. So, boom, there's mine.
Boom. You know what's funny about my best character is I chose Ro from Death Howl, the main character, just everything I have experienced with her so far, I'm like, man, this is just so well told. And I just really like she is like so persistent, obviously, with trying to find her son. And then she's like talking to, I don't know if it's like death or the darkness or whatever it is. And she's like just facing it. Like no matter what, you know, she keeps being told you're not going to find him or he's not going to be the same. And she's like, well, I need to try. Like, I'm not going to let death take him. And I just really like, I can't wait to kind of see this character unfold more as we progress to see if she kind of starts, that she's going to start breaking down more. Is she going to like, just, you know, how persistent is she going to be? I imagine pretty persistent. But I also just love her character design as well. They have these moments in Death Howl where, you know, she's got these antlers behind her and then you come across like some deer and some other creatures and they kind of like flash at the same time to show that you're kind of connected and then they fade away. Like just really cool character design and you know, it ties into obviously the story, but yeah, honestly, so far, I've just really enjoyed her character. I think it's so cool. Also, it's just so, if you saw her, I'd be like, that's the character from Death Howl, right? Like, it's just so unique looking. And, I've just been loving everything about her. I was actually going between, Mick and Ro, nice. for these two as well. Cause I honestly think those two games, you know, from all the games we've reviewed in the year, probably have like stronger story elements than a lot of what we played anyway. But yeah, I'm going with Ro from Death Howl for best character.
Yeah, that we had a couple good options for this. I think that, you know, there's one game that I think might come up a few more times that isn't those two games in these awards that definitely could have taken a lot of these awards, but you know, they're some of what would you call them? Not like hidden gems, but like some of these smaller games definitely hit home for us as well. Now, next category is most replayability or the most replayable game.
Yeah.
Which game this year was the most replayable for you?
So for me, this was a tougher one because I was trying to think of it as like, okay, what game have I actually gone back and like wanted to play more of as well? Like not just from like the mechanic standpoint and the gameplay standpoint, but also just like the want, the desire to actually go back and replay. And for me, that was 33 Immortals. Every run of this game, I just really love. I need to go back. We've talked about going back and playing because they've had some updates. Just being in like the party of with 32 other people, and you know, everything they've done with the upgrades and the different weapons. Like I just found myself like, oh man, I just unlocked another upgrade for this weapon, or I unlocked a new weapon. I need to do another run to see what it's like to use it. Right. So for me, it just kind of got me hooked on like just playing this over and over. I just wish it was on Steam so it would be easier to play on the Steam Deck. That's like the big thing. You can play it on there. I figured out how to do it, but it would be easier if it was just on the Steam Deck or on Steam. But yeah, for me, most replayability, 33 Immortals for sure. And hopefully, I just hope enough people keep playing it so that you still get that feel of having all those people with you, unless they end up putting bots in. But that's what I'm choosing. What about you?
Well, it's my answer is the same game because you know, for like a solid 2 months I was playing this like every day.
Yeah.
And you know, still will pop back in from time to time. This game was so much fun and I've loved watching like the updates to this. Sure, it's still in early access, but very excited to see what the final product is like, and they're working on it every day. I think if I could say, like in all the Discords I am for games that I enjoy and like try to follow, I get the most updates from this one, from what the heck is it? Thunder Lotus.
Yeah, Thunder Lotus.
And you know, they're saying, hey, we're doing this, we're doing that. Like they are working on this game constantly. This game was such a awesome surprise. But yeah, our first double, you know, win or you know, same win.
Yeah, there we go. The double win.
Unanimous.
Award. Yeah.
So that was most replayable. Next is best art direction. So this is the game that we felt, you know, really exceeded expectations on, you know, what you can do with a game from an art perspective. And my winner this year is arguably one of the biggest releases of the year, and that is Hollow Knight Silksong. This game just, you know, like I mentioned before, probably could win a lot of these awards, but I think the art direction is one of the categories where, you know, this is just everything here is just building upon, you know, the amazing art direction in the first Hollow Knight, but making it feel so different. This is such a beautiful game. Like anything you see from this, you're like, oh, I know what game this is. Mm-hmm. This is Hollow Knight or Silksong, right? And the game is insanely hard, right? And I've loved playing it. I love the challenge. But the thing that will always keep me coming back to this game is how it looks, because it's, honestly, you know, if every game could look this good, we'd be, you know, so happy. You know, is just such a great looking game. So got to give it to Hollow Knight Silksong.
And I'm right there with you. Hollow Knight Silksong. I mean, honestly, the first area you're in where it's like the greenery and the shrubbery, and like I was just like, man, it just like blew me away with how it looks. Plus, like everything with like the enemy design and the character design. I mean, even just looking in this trailer, right? It's just there's so much like variety here. It's just so well done. Really like both Hollow Knights, because I was kind of playing there's that starting area I was talking about as well. But both Hollow Knights just look so fantastic. But this one I really think like took it to another level. And I'm right there with you. Everything you said about it, I mean, it just looks beautiful. Even like, you know, you start to get some more abilities for Hornet, right? And like, you know, the floating one like pops out, like just these small little touches that just make a big difference. Such a great and beautiful game. Silk Song, which, you know, for me, I was like, you know, this game could have taken more awards as well. But there's also just some other like great games that came out this year where I'm like, I can't fully commit to Silk Song getting like all those awards, but it's definitely was in like the conversation, I guess, with myself for those other awards. But yeah, definitely art direction. I mean, I don't think there was a better game this year, you know, just even outside of the ones we reviewed that like looked better than Silk Song. So,
yeah. I mean, like if Silk Song didn't come out, there'd be like some real contenders here, you know, like even like Death Howl, I look at and I'm like, yeah, this game looked amazing. But, you know, I think that overall, this was just so great. Now, next category. Biggest surprise. This is going to be the game that took us by surprise. Like how good it was and how much we enjoyed it. Maddie, who is your winner?
So for biggest surprise, I am giving this to Absalom. Because it is a game, it's a genre that I typically don't play. You know, I don't really play beat-em-ups. I have before in the past and they've had, you know, they've been fun. But this one in particular, because it's a roguelite, really, like, you know, I was just extremely surprised at how much I ended up liking this game. Obviously, it even was nominated for some awards at the Game Awards, which is really cool to see, which I didn't expect. I figured this would be a game that would be overlooked. But for me, Absalom, definitely a biggest surprise, mostly because it's just a genre that I've just never really been that into. So it almost gave me like the feel of that 33 Immortals did, where like, I'm like, oh, I just unlocked something else. I got to do another run. I got to like check this out. This is another game I got to hop back into and play. Plus the fact it also has co-op, we played together, just a great time overall. And just something out of my comfort zone that I really enjoyed. So Absalom gets it for me.
That's a great choice. This could have won a couple of awards for me, Absalom. It would not have won this one because I think I was pretty hyped on this game as soon as I saw it revealed. So I it didn't necessarily take me by surprise, but such a good game. Great choice. Mine's a game that we played earlier in the year, Dawnfolk. This was a like kind of puzzle city builder. Looked great. Solo dev. You know, it's kind of hard to like imagine when you look at something that has a genre that is not your like typical cup of tea, right? Like I like some city builder stuff, but this one just felt so different and just like so much fun. And it was very accessible and I just loved playing it. You know, it had some really cool mechanics. To the mini games within the city building. Yeah. It was just like a good time. And, you know, I really liked it. And I pop back into this game every once in a while just to like beat a level. And yeah, I like this one a lot and it surprised me. And, you know, it does make me want to keep an eye out on what I think is Darren Keeley makes next because it was very impressive. Solo dev.
Yeah, this was one that was also kind of in the running for me because it's also a genre that like I typically don't play, right? So Dawnfolk, I mean, everything you kind of just said right there with it being so accessible is a part of the reason like I enjoyed it. I feel like anytime I look at a city builder, I'm like, this is just too much. Like, I'm not going to get into this, but they really kind of broke it down here. And those mini games are just great. They kind of gave me the like incremental game feel a little bit. Right. So, yeah, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
Thank you. Thank you. Now next is best hidden gem. This is a tough one to give. I had the toughest time picking this one, but this is like to us, you know, the game that probably we think deserves a little bit more hype or people talking about more. And a lot of the games that we enjoyed this year got a decent amount of hype for what they were. But I keep coming back to this game. He is coming. I think it's just such a nice little game. We played the multiplayer the other night together. Yeah. It was fun. We got to give it another shot because it was also like better runs, but it was also like super late when we were playing. Yeah. But this game was just such a cool little nugget, right? Like, this is just a lot of fun, and like you get some like cool builds going. You're like, oh, this game's awesome, and it just looks cool. You know, I think it falls into the hidden gem realm. It's not quite huge. The people that know it, right? But this is a game that I would tell most people, like, listen, give it a shot. It's not as complex as it sounds. It's going to be pretty fun. Once you get into it, you're going to have a lot of fun with this game. So He Is Coming is my best hidden gem.
And I'm right there with you. That was what I also had. He Is Coming. He's what? He's coming. And he, you know, it's an auto battler as well, which I feel like maybe turns some people off because they maybe see this and they're like, oh, like this is like turn-based. This is an awesome game that just like keeps getting updates. I know it's early access, but it keeps getting like really cool updates. Like now there's that 1v1 kind of mode that you just mentioned. We tried out. I think the art style is great. This is a game where like I want it on my phone or I want it on like a Game Boy or something. Like I would just play this all the time. It's just such a good time killer. It's not as complicated as you mentioned. It's not as complicated as people might think. Just with the way it looks, it's really simple. But I feel like every run I'm like, I'm going to try this build or I'm going to try something else like that I've never done before. I love this game. Plus I think it's 50% off right now. Yeah. It ends January 5th. So if you guys are interested in a real hidden gem, He Is Coming. It is silly name maybe, but also true, but this game is awesome. So highly recommend it. Definitely a hidden gem for me and not talked about enough, at all.
Yeah. Nice. Another unanimous decision by us. Know. Moving on to best score. This is the best, you know, music, I think, right? Would be score. Actually, is who had the highest score? Now, best score, this is for games that had just like such a fleshed out musical score that we enjoyed. I think it's you first this time. What was the best score?
So for me, best score music, enjoyed Cast and Chill. That it had even just going back, because I went back and listened to a lot of the scores and the music for a lot of the games we reviewed, and this one I was like, man, this just fits the vibe so well. I think it's something I would put on like in the background if I was like working, and I just think it was just really well done. It's kind of got like these like calming, like, you know, this acoustic guitar, and it's just everything about it. It's got like multiple layers and like, you know, the different areas that you go in has different music as well. And I just think it, you know, also sound effect wise, you know, for including that, you know, you got the dog on your boat, everything about this, you know, when you're underwater, it kind of feels like you're underwater when the lore goes down there. So I'm giving it the Cast and Chill. This was actually in the running for me as well with best art direction. I think that this is like just a beautiful looking game. Everything from like the vendor you talk to and the, you know, this book here that you're seeing on the screen. And then obviously like the fishing elements are really well done. But for best score, I'm giving it to Cast and Chill. I think a little bit of a surprise here. maybe for many listening that were thinking I was going to go. No, I don't know. But Cast and Chill was definitely for me just really impressive with the sound. So that's what I'm going with. Tommy.
I think a great choice. Nice, relaxing, cozy score for sure. Mine is a game that you already mentioned. Absalom was my score of the year. So much so that I have some of the tracks on my Spotify, including the one by Mick Gordon for The Under King, which that song just goes so unbelievably hard. This was, I mean, there's a lot I could say about this game. I love this game, and it probably could have won a decent amount of the awards, but I think it's going to go, you know, down. Like, I will revisit at least that track from Mick Gordon and then a lot of what Gareth Coker did, as well as some of the guest composers that came on. There's really great videos on YouTube if you want to check out about the making of this score. But this was just a great game in a lot of ways, but the way it sounded just was chef's kiss. Now, next award. Favorite game mechanic.
Ooh.
This one's a new one for us. We didn't do this last year, right?
Yeah.
This is a tough one. There were some really cool game mechanics. I kind of mentioned Dawnfolk earlier with the mini game mechanic within the city building. That was really neat. That was kind of like a finalist here. But what I'm giving it to is the loop mechanic in the game Rogue Loops. I loved the back and forth, this like almost Hades style combat that only takes place in two rooms. And you're choosing how those rooms are going to get increasingly harder and how you're going to buff your character. I thought that this was such a good, like, fun mechanic. You're like, oh, wow. I really have to think about this, right? Like,
yeah.
In games like Sworn and Hades, you know, when you're going into the next room, you got to think about, oh, what kind of a reward do I want? What do I want to risk here? Here, you're like, ah, man, I got to think, like, this room five times ahead because it's going to get harder and harder and harder. So I got to make sure that I'm making the right decision here. And then I'm buffing my character to be able to deal with it as well. So I felt that that mechanic was very impressive to me. It was, I think, one of the most unique that we played this year. So the loop mechanic from Rogue Loops was my choice.
And I'm right there with you. That's the same thing I put down here. The loop mechanic was like something that is just so different than other games in this genre, which I feel like, you know, a lot of these roguelite action games that we play, you know, it's kind of a similar flavor, maybe just a different story, a little tweaks here and there. But I really feel like the loop mechanic in this game made it stand out. Obviously, it's in the name as well. So they kind of went all in with that. But it made me think differently about how I was approaching the game. I just, you know, everything you kind of said there, I totally agree with. And it also is very interesting because you're kind of choosing like an advantage and a disadvantage at the same time, right? So, you know, typically I feel like in a lot of these roguelike games, you're just choosing like a buff. This is kind of like a, you know, you have to consider the cons here as well to see if that kind of fits what you're trying to do. And if it's really going to make it that much more difficult or if you can kind of live with it. So, I'm right there with you with Rogue Loops. I think it was such a cool mechanic to put into the game. And I'd love to see kind of more of that sort of style of kind of, you know, going into rooms and having different buffs and nerfs happening, you know, and like every time you go in, it's like maybe you choose a different one, but maybe it's more linear. I don't know. Like maybe it doesn't need to be a loop, but very cool, very cool idea here. So, and I thought it was well executed. So I'm right there with you. Rogue Loops.
Nice. Yeah. Another unanimous decision. Next, not a happy category, but biggest disappointment of the year. This is the game that we feel we were hyped on or should have been better, and you played it and you're just like, just didn't really cut the mustard. Matthew, what was your biggest disappointment?
My biggest disappointment of the year was Ruffy in the Riverside. Now, this is a game we got a little bit of negative feedback on because we weren't crazy about it. I think we gave it an on sale, so we definitely didn't give it a bad score. But, you know, growing up with these kind of games, you kind of expect a certain level of execution, but then also you want it to be like modernized enough where it doesn't feel like you're playing a game from back then. I don't know how many of you have actually gone back and played like the old like Banjo-Kazooies and things of that nature, but sometimes the designs are just bad because they didn't really know what they were doing for certain things. I feel like this game, you know, it captured that essence, but it just didn't nail it for me. I was looking at this game. I was like, okay, this is like right up my alley. I think this could be a real winner here. And for me, it just kind of fell a little bit flat, and I just wasn't too interested in the paint mechanic. And it just fell short for me, unfortunately. I know other people think differently about this game. It's got very positive on Steam, but for me, it was definitely a disappointment and kind of what I was expecting. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, you can leave that page up because it's the winner for me too, Ruffy and the Riverside. You know, I think it's a valiant effort, but it just kind of felt, and this is kind of reiterating what we were saying in the review, a lot of half-baked ideas and, you know, just didn't stick the landing on a lot of it. Some parts just felt so messy. And, you know, I really wanted to like this game, right? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I went in and I was like, this game's, like, because I remember watching, you know, trailers for it and getting excited. I was like, this game's going to be sick.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't. I didn't even feel like I was, like, being transported back to the games of old. And maybe it happened for other people, but to me, it was a disappointment. And it only gets that award because, you know, we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that people seem to think it is. So, Ruffy and the Rivers, look at us.
Yeah.
Same wavelength.
A little rough. Holy moly. A little rough that one was.
All right. Let's see if we have any more on the same wavelength. What is your most anticipated, I guess I'm going first this time, anticipated game of the year? This is for 2026, the game that we're looking forward to. Talked about this demo. Got some friends on this demo. Black Jacket is my most anticipated game of 2026. This game, there's a lot that could have been here. I think Slay the Spire 2 could have gotten this as well. But golly, with this demo, I'm like so hyped for this game. This game should be like one of the best games next year, I imagine. Unless the rest of the game sucks somehow. But this is a game that I'm so excited for. The art style is sick. They have actual story elements. And like we're only getting a taste of the way the deck building actually will work and the different kind of decks. So very excited for what ends up being probably one of my game of the years next year, if I had to guess.
There you go. We are not on the same wavelength for this one. This is a game that I definitely knew you weren't going to have on your list. That is on mine, but I am very excited for Black Jacket as well. I really did enjoy the demo. Can't wait for it to come out. It is fun getting people like hooked on it as well. But for me, this is a game that is, I think it's a solo dev. I might be wrong. It's, of course, in the survival genre. But it's called Orma Directive. So it's got a weird title, right? But what's really cool about this game, and I'm planning to actually make some videos on it, is that, you know, this is like a survival game and like a infinite open world sandbox, they say. But I think what's really cool is like they give you, this game has like so much, it's so ambitious of what it's trying to do. I really hope that they can do it. But you can have like PvP, PvE, a hardcore mode, creative modes. You can kind of build the world how you want it to be and play with other players. But you can also automate things. So it's kind of got like a satisfactory kind of feel to it. There's obviously building, and obviously just kind of survival in general. But I've been in their Discord for a bit, and I've talked to the main dev behind it, and they are sharing like updates all the time about this game. And what's really promising about it is they're not planning to release in early access, which is, I feel like a lot of survival games kind of fall short because of that. They kind of get stuck in this, like, even if the game is well received, people still won't give it a second look because it's early access. So they're planning to actually release this, you know, as a 1.0. But you can see like the feature overview, infinite, fully customizable procedural worlds, you know, player defined difficulty in world settings, multiple modes. Like, it's just got, there's skills and quest system and a dynamic player driven economy. It's almost like an MMO, but like as a survival game. And it's just right up my alley with everything they're trying to do, like automation and things like that. So I'm really hoping they can execute on it. But this game to me at first seemed like, okay, this is way too ambitious. But the more I kind of see, you know, more stuff I see in their Discord and them talking about it and them sharing actual gameplay of the game, I'm like, okay, this might actually be everything that they're promising it is, as long as like the servers can be okay. So Ormond Directive is like, I still don't understand the name. I guess maybe it's like, I don't know. It's got probably something to do with the story or like the lore of it. But that is my most anticipated game for next year, right up my alley. Planning to make videos on it, so there you go. Ormond Directive. Tom, I know this is a big one for you as well. You can't wait. But
honestly, if somebody was like, there's a new game coming out, Ormond Directive, I'd be like, Matt's probably playing it. I didn't even need to hear it was a survival game. I'm like, yeah, you know what? That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Holy smokes. All right, well, that brings us to the last two awards, our reviewed game of the year and then our non-reviewed game of the year. Let's start with our reviewed game of the year. This is our favorite game. This is the game that kind of hits on all everything. It was a certified fresh juice when we reviewed it. It hit on every single category that we look at. Maddie, what is your reviewed game of the year?
My reviewed game of the year is 33 Immortal. I love this game so much. I understand it's still in early access, but I love this. I just love everything about it, especially since I've been getting more and more in the kind of MMOs, and this is like a bite-sized version of that. Plus, it's got like the Hades kind of elements. It's just, I need to hop back into it, to be honest. But this is a game that, like, I knew I would like, but I didn't realize I'd love as much as I do. So yeah, for me, 33 Immortals is my reviewed game of the year. Hands down, like, this was an easy one for me to choose. There were other ones that I like considered, because obviously we played a lot of great games, but this is one where I'm like, I could play this like for years to come, essentially, like always hop back in. It's almost like a fallback kind of game for me as well. So that's what I'm giving it to. Tommy, what do you give it to?
I'm not shocked, but like, I respect that decision. This definitely. So funny enough about this year was we started on a stinker. It was Beyond Citadel.
Yeah.
And I've really come around on it. So like, it started on a stinker, but it ended up being like an amazing year for games in general, but also games that we reviewed. We gave, I think, probably a record amount of certified fresh juices this year.
Yeah, probably.
I didn't check, but I, you know, 33 Immortals is certainly a game that I think, if you ask me in a few years, it's like, yeah, actually, maybe that would have been my game of the year. And then Absalom is a game that's very close. It came down to two games. It was Absalom and my winner. And I already brought up this game, but it's Hollow Knight Silksong. I think it's hard for me not to give this one my reviewed game of the year, because it's just amazing. It is like, you know, yeah. Team Cherry. Like whatever they make from now on, I think they mentioned that probably the next game they make won't be a Hollow Knight game, which makes me even more excited. I'm like, what else can you do? Yeah. Because you're just so good at making games.
I can't wait to play it in a decade. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I can't wait to play. Listen, you know what? You gotta let them cook. I mean, yeah. they cooked, and you know, this is just I don't know. It's like a game that I'll return to, and you know, like it's a game like it gets so hard sometimes. You have to take a break, but then you come back to it, and you feel renewed. It looks beautiful. Had an amazing score. Awesome story. Great character design. Didn't feel like just another Hollow Knight. I know that it kind of, like, from the outside looking in, it would feel like that. It doesn't. It feels like a totally new thing, especially, you know, we were both replaying, like, Hollow Knight leading up to this game.
Yeah.
And it just truly felt so different. And, like, the boss fights, everything. It just was so good. Can't wait to continue to play this game in the new year. You know, it's great. Hollow Knight Silk Song. Got to give it to them.
Yeah, obviously just a stellar game for sure. I think the thing with the only reason I didn't pick it over 33 Immortals is because of, like, it's so difficult too. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games where I'm like, if things aren't going my way, I just need to take a break from it. And like, I feel the opposite with like 33 Immortals where I'm like, you know, I just crave playing more of it, even if we lose. But it's definitely, I mean, so I can't wait to see what else Team Cherry does. And I still need to beat the original Hollow Knight as well. But I did play a good amount of it, probably like 20 or 25 hours. So, this is just a banger. Also, 20% off until January 5th. So if you don't have Silk Song for some reason, there you go. Pick it up.
And before we get to our non-reviewed game of the year, I got to give a shout out to all of our certified fresh juices from the year. So we both gave Sworn certified fresh juice. I'm surprised, actually, this one didn't get anything.
Yeah,
on the awards.
It almost did. Yeah.
Almost did. Dawnfolk, we both gave certified fresh juice. That nabbed an award. 33 Immortals was your game of the year. We both gave that certified fresh juice. I played a game called Mudborne, and I gave that a certified fresh juice. You played a game called Blasphemous. That was a retro review. Yep. Certified fresh juice. I gave Rogue Loop certified fresh juice. You gave it a steal, but we were pretty high on that game. A game that I almost gave a few awards was Star Vaders. Mm-hmm. That was a really fun roguelite deck builder. Both gave certified fresh juice. Nine Kings, I'm surprised we didn't give any, because I pop into that game every once.
I actually almost did best score for that one, just because I thought the music was good, and then obviously the sound effects.
Yeah. We both gave certified fresh juice on that. I gave certified fresh juice to As We Descend. You gave it on sale. Cast and Chill got certified fresh juice unanimously. The Drifter also. He is coming. Yes, he is. Hollow Knight, Silk Song, Absalom, Moonlighter 2, and then Death Howl. So, like, you know, a lot of great games. That's a lot of certified fresh juices in 1 year. So, Gotta give it to them now.
And there's even games we can't play everything. There's probably, there's definitely more certified fresh juices out there. I mean, Expedition 33, Blueprints. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many things that we just did not
Hades
have
2,
time to
you
play.
Know.
Yeah. So just a banger year. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of just like, you know, what we happened to review. Now let's get to our game of the year, non-reviewed. And this is actually, I think, my overall game of the year for me.
You want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Okay. I'll kick it off. My game of the year is a little game called Slots and Daggers.
That's mine, too.
Yes!
I already had it queued up.
Okay. Yeah. This game is like almost, I'm almost mad we didn't review it.
Yeah.
Because this game is so good. I don't think people understand. Like, you just, it's got all the dopamine. You just want to keep going in and, like, doing it, finding the different kind of builds you can go. And then just alone, the art style, like, the whole vibe of, like, you're just, like, sitting at a bar table playing this little game that is part of your bar. It's like if you ever go to a bar that has, like, the virtual poker or whatever. And And the sound design on this game is arguably one of the best design games I've ever played, right? You know, this was just so good. It scratches so many itches. And honestly, I'm super excited to see what else this dev does, because this was just pure crack. I love this game. I think more people should be talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see, you know, what comes next, because I think this, like, the funny thing is, you play this game, you're like, wow, this is so bite-sized. This could have been so much bigger, but you're almost glad it isn't, because, like, you just feel satisfied once you, like, beat it. You're like, wow, this feels, that felt great. That was such a good experience. Had a lot of great mechanics. Like, it's a slot machine, but also, like, there is mini game aspects and some, you know, what do you call it? Like, skill-based things as well, like, you know, and how you time stuff. Weird looking character design, great little heads up display.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Yeah, it's just this game, you know, if this was a game we reviewed, I would have had it in the running, at least the running for like hidden gem score, maybe even art direction too, replayability. The game, I'd love to like just randomly see like we added more bosses or another world, you know, just something like that in there. Because, you know, when I was trying to figure out what would my non-reviewed game of the year, what it was going to be, I was looking through my Steam library and I kind of overlooked this one because I had already uninstalled it because I had beat it. So I felt, I was like, all right, I probably don't need to hop back in. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, I probably should just reinstall it. And then that way I can, you know, just kind of play it whenever. But this was such a, you know, a surprise for me, and really just such a well-made game. It's like $5 right now too. I think it's like 30% off, until the 5th. And it's just so worth it. I can't wait to see what else this dev does. This was a game where like in the beginning I was like, all right, well, it looks good, but how am I going to feel about it, you know, when things aren't going my way? Am I going to get that, like you said, it's like crack. Like, am I going to feel like doing another run? It's like, oh, absolutely. I like every time I'd like fail, I'd be like, ah, I got to try this the next run. Or like, this is what went wrong. I was too focused on like building up my armor and I don't need to worry about, you know, whatever it is. And then you obviously get like more permanent unlocks, and it's so well done. I love this game. From top to bottom, there's nothing I change about it other than I just want more of it. It's just fantastic, everything about it. I would love, actually, if they did like some sort of like the He Is Coming, like 1v1 sort of thing, where like maybe at like the end of a run, you fight someone else or something. Something like that could be kind of interesting. But this is just such a great game. I'm so glad you said it, because I wrote it down and I was like, I don't know if Tom's gonna feel this way about this little tiny game, but for me, I was like, this was just so much fun. It like consumed my life for like a week, or maybe 2 weeks, and it was just a blast. So, yeah, Slots and Daggers, just a great name, great game. I think So there's Pizza Possum Dev.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait to see what else they do. But Slots and Daggers, just knocked out of the park. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I still think about, like, just randomly, I'll think about, like, how that sound design feels.
Oh, yeah. Like when you're, like, the lights.
Yeah, and then it's just, like, when you hit them, and it's just like, wow. Yeah. Like, they just nailed it.
Yeah.
So good. And this was a year with, I played 3 slots, like, roguelike games, and this was easily the best. And
And Clover Pit got most of the attention, I'd say. But I think
that's not on mobile now.
I personally think this one deserves more attention.
Definitely. That's the juicies. How about that?
There we go. We did it.
Put it in the comments. What'd you think? What were your juicies? How juicy are you feeling right now?
Do it. Do it right now. Right now. We'll wait.
Yep. Now, next week, we haven't decided what we're doing. It's kind of a slow time of year for games, but we might find a game worth checking out. But if not, we might be doing some demos or something like that. But we do have some listener questions. These are from the Juicehead Discord. First one coming from Bags, who asks, who would win in a fight, Pennywise or the Cat in the Hat?
Pennywise or the Cat in the Hat? Well, the Cat in the Hat, at first you might be like, oh, Pennywise. But the Cat in the Hat does a lot of wild things and has some powers himself. I'd probably choose the Cat in the Hat also because he's active year-round. Pennywise is like, what, every 27 years? Yeah, so like, you know, the Cat in the Hat has got time to plan. So I'll go with the Cat in the Hat on this one, I guess.
Yeah, I think the Cat in the Hat probably wouldn't really be afraid of anything. And I think Pennywise is like kind of feeding on that. So
yeah,
I think Cat in the Hat clears that one easily.
Unless they work together, Pennywise is like, listen, you bring the kids to me, all right? Because you can lure them in and then I'll buy you any hat you want. There you go. He's just his hat guy. So that could be it.
There you go. R-Carp asks, what's your New Year's goal? I guess resolution. Do you have any goals in the new year?
Do I have any goals? I'm working on some like content goals. I'd love to like hit certain numbers, things of that nature. Maybe get a sponsorship. I haven't really solidified those yet. I just haven't had the time to fully think about it, but I'm going to start going to the gym. There's a gym that opened like right near me, actually, that is brand new, and Planet Fitness. So I'm going to be going there maybe even this week. We'll see. We passed it today and like there was a ladder. Like they were like doing construction in the hallway, but there were people working out in there. So I was like, is it open? I don't know if it's open or are those like the employees. I have no idea. So hopefully it's open. But really the like outside of those, like I'm getting a 3D printer. I want to just start 3D printing more things and like being more or less reliable on like, oh, I got to order this little thing on Amazon, you know, or like this little part to fix something. I was like, oh, I want to start like just printing it. You know, if there's a little plastic piece that breaks on something or I don't know, I need like just small little things that like you normally would have to pay for. I want to get really good at just printing those and like fixing things like that on my own. There's plenty of things that I've done where I'm just like, man, I just wish I had a 3D printer. So I'm getting that. And that's kind of a goal for me next year that I already know about that I just want to do more of that sort of stuff and just be like less reliant on, you know, buying things that I probably could just make myself with the 3D printer. So, yeah. But what about you, Tom? You got any goals, any resolutions for next year?
Well, this year I did reading a book a month, which I did. I hit 12 and a half books. I'm going to do that again next year. I like forcing myself to at least read 12 books a year, you know, because, you know, I love reading, but unless you don't, like, it's hard to make the time for it. So you got kind of to force yourself. So that'd be cool, you know, kind of do stuff around this house that we bought, stuff like that. You know, there's some flesh and blood goals I have. You know, I'm hoping to qualify for the Nationals again. But we'll see. I haven't really prepared and the qualified season is in January. So, but maybe I can eke something out, based on raw talent and skill.
That's how you do it.
Yep. And then, you know, I would like to qualify for the Pro Tour too. So we'll see. Cause the Pro Tour that I could qualify for is in Vegas. That should be relatively easy to get to. I hate Vegas, but if I get to go play in a Pro Tour, I will do that. But yeah, that's pretty much my goals. Yeah, I would say so. But thanks for the question, R-Carp. And finally, Capullo asks, favorite color of food?
My favorite color of food. Favorite color of food. Well, I don't know. I mean, red?
Red's a good one.
Maybe like red. Maybe red.
But you don't like tomatoes.
I don't like tomatoes. I like apples. Yeah. Okay. I like ketchup. I like, what else is red? I like, no, maybe not red. Blue? No, it's like blueberries. Tan. I like bread. Pasta.
Yeah, I would put brown in like the, like bread, pasta, potatoes.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a, that's a big category. Like the brown category is really doing numbers in the
doing
food
some
category.
Heavy lifting, yeah. I guess brown, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really think about that too much. What about you? You got like something that sticks out?
Like brown has some good stuff, right? Potatoes, bread, stuff like that. But red does have a lot of great stuff. You got your, like your apples, your tomatoes, like certain kind of chilies and stuff like that. But then I think green is just, you know, you got, I love veggies and like all the green stuff is really good, right? You got like green bell pepper, you got jalapenos, you got, you know, lettuce.
Pickles.
Like you can't have pickles. I love pickles, cucumbers. Yeah. You know, you name it, we got it in green. So I think, I mean, listen, you got limes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I mean, limes
honestly,
are so
the
good.
The only thing you've said that I'm not crazy about is that I'm not that into, like, cucumbers or zucchinis, like, too much. Like, I don't know why. But everything else, I mean, you're making good points. Maybe green is the answer here.
Well, I think, like, you know.
It's not that I hate cucumbers and zucchini either. It's just I prefer not to have a lot of them.
That's interesting. So. I love cucumber. I could leave, take or leave zucchini. Zucchini to me, just like mush and whatever. But like a nice crisp cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
good.
Cucumber water. That's good.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. I like
good
that.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite color of food, Capola? Let us know. And then we will see you all in the new year. Not before we go to the rec room, of course. This is where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What would you like to recommend?
I'm recommending a new website I found where I was trying to find, you know, Steam does a lot of play tests. So I was like, where can I couldn't find a filter on Steam or anything that like showed me, okay, here's upcoming play tests for games, not just demos, but actual like play tests. So I found this website that's really cool called playtester.io. And it's just a simple website. You just go there. You could filter by the tags on the top if you want to, but you can easily just hover over these games right here and just kind of see, like, okay, am I kind of into it? It gives you a little bit of, like, the genres and a little description of the game. And I've found some cool games on here that I'd never heard of. And I've gone to Steam and been like, all right, I'm going to register for that play test. They also have demos on here as well. But, of course, I'm looking at, like, the survival category, things like that. But it's just a super simple, easy site to like check out upcoming playtests. I don't think everything on Steam shows up here. I don't think it's like automatic. I think like they go and find these and add them or you submit them. But because there's an add a game button up in the top right that you guys can't see. But cool site and something I'll be using going forward to just see, you know, what else is out there that maybe I haven't found or maybe it's just really small and they don't really, you know, do a lot of like posting on Twitter, on social, and it's just kind of like a hidden gem, essentially. I think I might find some hidden gems with this site. So, playtester.io. It's also great if maybe you don't want to, like, spend money on games. There's free demos and playtests, and you're like, I just want to play something new, try something new out. There's tons of games on here for you to just go, hey, I'm going to just play this for a few hours and see how I like it. So check it out, playtester.io. Pretty cool site.
Yeah, this looks awesome. This is going to be, I mean, we might even do a couple of demos next week. I'm seeing some I already want to play. I'm looking at this one called Loot Bane. Kind of reminds me of He Is Coming in a way. I don't
Loot
know.
Bane.
Loot Bane.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
kind of
fun.
Yeah.
So I guess as a demo, but yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
That's playtester.io?
Yes, playtester.io.
Cool.
There we go.
My recommendation this week is a movie. On Christmas night, we went home and we put on the newest Knives Out movie that's on Netflix, Wake Up Dead Man, starring Benoit Blanc, Daniel Craig, and Josh Johnson. I forget his I think he's an Irish actor. But if you liked Knives Out or The Glass Onion, these are the other Rian Johnson films. To be honest, I think Rian Johnson's batting 1,000. Every movie he's ever made has been good, including The Last Jedi for all the Star Wars fans out there. But I love the Knives Out movies. Great whodunits. The first one's great. Second one's a little bit more of a mess, but it's still good. This one, I think, is the closest in quality to the first one. And I love the hell out of it. It was a really fun whodunit. And yeah, Wake Up Dead Man.
Yeah, this is something that I have downloaded and we have on our list. We have this and the new Now You See Me as well. Or Now You See Me, Now You Don't, because we like the first two. They're just like fun movies or whatever, but we are very much into the whodunit kind of movies. Yeah. And we really like the first two Knives Out, so this one we're planning to watch on New Year's Eve.
Nice, so
excited about that. And it also, like, these Knives Out movies, even though, like, we've seen like whodunit stuff before, it also gets us like I've looked up like other movies that are whodunit or show, mm-hmm. even shows. There's some like interesting ones we've watched that are, you know, it's a whole season of kind of whodunit. But I feel like nothing has really matched like what I loved about Knives Out. You know, like they just did such a great job, especially in that first one. The second one was just like, it was just like wild. But
this one's a little bit more. Yeah, I don't know. There. This one was like. Yeah. I thought it was really good. And at this point, like, just keep making them. I love the character of Benoit Blanc. I want to see how he solves these crazy murders.
Yeah, like, they don't even need to be connected. Like, just keep pumping out, like, these Knives Out movies. We're very much looking forward to watching it. So I'm glad to hear you reckon it.
Yeah, this reminds me, I had a guest on my other podcast, Tim, from a YouTube channel called Trade Federations, who is in a book club, like an Agatha Christie book club, where they read mystery, like whodunits, and then they stop at a certain point, and then they all meet up and like discuss their theories on who did it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's an awesome book club. Holy smokes. Yeah, so,
that should be like a podcast.
I agree.
Should we pivot? After 150 episodes.
It's time to pivot, but anyway, that's going to do it for this year, and we'll see you next year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you can find me on Blue Sky at Fresh Buds Pod, and I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. This week, we have Abby from the Iron Maiden podcast, or not podcast, YouTube channel. She was awesome, and we had a great time kind of talking about the past year in Flesh and Blood. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm on all my socials, other than Instagram, Matty Gorm YT. I'm also now again on Blue Sky and Threads as well. I'm going to kind of cross post there, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, you know. So, check me out over there. I've been posting a lot of short form stuff about upcoming games to check out in January. There you go. Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Boom. Happy juice here.